Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, good morning on this snowy Tuesday morning, and if you will take a look at the agenda, you'll note there's no resolution on there saying that it was clearly a charge, but I think if it was on there, it would probably pass. So we'll move into it. First item on our agenda is public comment number one. This is the comment period for the public to address topics that are on today's agenda. Is there anyone that would like to address the board? Seeing no one moving immediately to the microphone, we'll move to consideration of minutes, and we have both the February 12th and the February 19th minutes to consider.
And there's just
one change.
I move approval with the change of the...
It was a long meeting. We went till 1:17 p.m., not 1:17 a.m. That would have been a really long meeting. Okay. All right.
Then I'll move approval.
And I'll second. Toot?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Passes. Consideration of, we have no personnel actions. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Outstanding. Consideration of claims, a low claims week.
Exactly. I'll move approval.
And I'll second. Two.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Claims pass. Consent agenda. We have all items, and we added a utility permit and a road closure from the original agenda.
Move approval.
And I'll second. Two.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. It passes. No public hearing items. Additional items. Discussion and consideration of cancellation of the Board of Supervisors meeting on Tuesday, March 19th. 2013, that is spring break week.
I know I'll be gone for sure.
And I think I might be gone. I'm not sure what Wayne's plans are, but probably be a good idea for us to go ahead and plan on not having that one.
Right.
You want to make a motion?
Sure. I would move that we cancel the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for Tuesday, March 19th of 2013.
And I'll second it. Further discussion? Two.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. So we'll cancel that meeting for the 19th. Discussion and consideration of the appointment of Bradley James Vansel as a medical examiner investigator.
This is part of the Dr. Weidert, who's our county medical examiner. It's part of his efforts to kind of grow his office and take some of the burden off of him. He's the pathologist in private practice that contracts with the clinic in Ames Mifarnon, and also with Mary Greeley. He's a busy man, and he's also taken on the pathology work for the hospital in Fort Dodge. So with that, he's asked us to appoint one additional medical examiner investigator, which would bring, I think, to a total of four. And I had a conversation yesterday with the John Kramer, who's in charge of the state's medical examiners, the forensic office, about the training of these investigators, and he said he's the two that we've previously appointed were already certified. He has conducted some classes with the first one that we appointed and got her to a certification. He said this fourth individual he's aware of has read his resume and is personally aware of his background, and said there should be no problem getting him certified, so the county has no liability as far as what it's going to cost to get their certification. So really he couldn't see any reason why we wouldn't want to appoint him. I think maybe one more appointment is probably what Dr. White is looking for a staff of five examiners, which takes some of the pressure off him, lets him conduct his practice and also serve as the medical examiner here.
And for us, the way we've structured the contract, Paul, just remind me, we're paying for the job they do. We're not paying based on the number of people that we have available to do the job. Right?
Exactly. They sign a private contractor.
And so we only pay them if they're out on a call.
Right. We pay them mileage. I think two of them live in Ankeny, so we don't pay them mileage until they hit the county line. But we pay them mileage, and it's a flat fee, investigative fee of $100 for every time they're called out.
So budgetary impact of appointing another one, or as you say, maybe one more after this,
right,
is... Okay. I don't have any other questions.
Well, I'm going to move appointment of Bradley James Vansell as a medical examiner investigator here in Story County.
And I'll second it. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Toot?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. It passes. Discussion and consideration of funds to erect signage at the Confederate Parrot Cannon or an open shelter with hangage signage on all four sides. And this actually came to us from Gretchen Triplett. And I don't think she made it over today. It is interesting to me that we don't have signage out there at that cannon. I'm not sure that I'm supportive of the idea of actually building any kind of structure out there, but I really support the signage. And Paul, I'll just tell you what I'm wrestling with. While I believe there should be signage, I'm not convinced that that's where public dollars need to be going. I believe it needs to be a fundraiser, and you know, the kind of thing that I think a lot of people would be willing to contribute to having a nice little sign out there commemorating it. I'm just not convinced that that's county dollars that need to go. And so that's what I'm wrestling with in all this. And I was hoping Gretchen could be here today. I asked Cal to come up since ultimately it would be facilities taking care of that. And I'll just say I know Cal would have concerns about doing anything major out there because that's right where our well field is for geothermal. And Cal, I don't know if there's anything else you want to address. You don't need to come up, but you're welcome to if there's anything else you need to address along there. Yeah, come on up. Yeah, he's coming.
I agree there should be some type of sign in there, but like I say, there's no money in our budget now, or we didn't budget any for next year. My concern would be just something, if somebody wants to raise some funds to do something, that we try and stay with what we have out there, like at the flags, we have a bronze plaque on a boulder or a
yeah.
stone. Something like that, I think, would be good. For the meantime, I've got a lot of information on that. We could possibly maybe put something on our county webpage, put some information on it, if that would make some people happy that there were information available.
And I think that's completely appropriate, and obviously that's cost neutral, so that's something that Cal, I would ask, and this is Cal Pearson, our interim director of facilities. I would ask that we go ahead and get something on the website as soon as we can, identifying what that is. And then, Cal, I'd like to ask if you would just price out what something similar to what we've done in other areas would cost us to do at the cannon, because then ultimately we're going to have the conversation of is it county dollars that we're spending to do this? And I've told you I've got concerns with that. But I think it's at least reasonable for us to know what something like that would cost, and then we can say, hey, we'd like to do this, but we're not going to use public dollars for this. We need to raise some dollars to do this, and this is what it would cost us. So if you wouldn't mind, if you could take getting information up on the website and putting together what it would cost us to do something that's consistent with what we've done with other county items. Do you have anything else?
No, I mean, like you said, down by the flags, you kind of envision some sort of a stone with a bronze plaque attached to it. It could even sit right in front of that cannon.
That was my feeling. And I think what we've got out there really looks nice. And as the trees mature around there, I think
right.
it would be a really, really nice setting out there, just the way it is.
And yep. I know you guys have done a good job. I saw Aaron out there. I think it was the hottest day of the summer last year putting paint on it. But
that's the other thing. That's aluminum carriage.
Yep.
Or cast.
No, but I do think it's a good idea because I think, you know, there's really no information about it.
Yeah. Well, and just help me through. Do you think my concerns with public dollars are valid, or do you think this is something the public should be spending?
I think this is probably a good opportunity for people to get involved. And you know, I can't envision it's going to cost a whole lot of money.
Rough estimates on the internet. I looked real quick. Just a 2x2 foot by 2 foot plaque is about $1,500. So I'm thinking by the time it got done, it could be in the $3,000 to $5,000
range.
Something.
Yeah.
So, and it's just ballpark numbers.
Yeah. Well, if you wouldn't mind pricing that out for us, taking care of the internet, and then we'll just have this once Cal puts together some prices, then we'll have to be ready to figure out what, if anything, we're going to do. Okay? Thanks, Cal. Anything else there? All right. Agency reports. Ames Community Preschool. Sue. You thought it was going to take us a long time to get to you, didn't you? We moved, especially on snowy days. Thanks for coming.
I brought some information with me so that I knew I was telling you the right numbers. So ACPC is was the first nonprofit shelter center at Ames, which is why we have that name that we have. We're located at the First Christian Church. We have 90-some kids there. We have a toddler house on 6th Street where there's 15. And then we have 220 elementary-age children in before and after care in the public schools. And the sliding fee scale that's funded by AFSET is offering our lower income families the same services at a reduced rate. The county is, for the next year, is giving us $12,762. And primarily for the children age and a little bit for preschool, or for school age. They would like, if everyone would like, the school age programs are self-sufficient as far as not costing tax dollars, but the parents still come in all ranges of income, so it's nice to have money to help those parents with that. Last year, about 25% of our total families were helped by AFSET to pay their bills, their childcare bill, I guess that's what it is. Majority of our families are from Ames. Last year we had 18% that were rural aides, or Story County towns, Huxley, Roland Story, Nevada, or out in the country. And we recently, this is our big thing. This ACPC is only bidder and a top bidder for Wilson Bearshear. That's where we are at the moment, is that the school district in Ames decided fairly quickly in December that they wanted to sell Wilson Bearshear, and they were going to sell it, you know, a month later. So our board gulped and said, yes, we've been talking about wanting, it only took us 45 years. We've been in the business for 45 years, but it only took us that long to finally have enough money to feel as though we could jump in there. But there are many unknowns still. We don't know yet the architect fees for renovations. There are no kitchens in the schools at Ames, only Ames High has a kitchen. The food is all prepared at Ames High and it's shipped out. Well, the cost of a commercial kitchen is way expensive. And so we're going to be doing a fundraising campaign and then deciding which of the things that we can afford to do we will do year one, year two, and so forth. We're hoping to move in late fall, in part because we're also paying rent in the First Christian Church, and they've been great for us for 45 years, and we don't want to try to, you know, break our lease and so forth there, but we also don't want to play in two places. So that's the big thing. So maybe next year when I come and see you, I can talk about, well, this is what we did. Where right now, all I can say is, I don't know what we're
going to
do.
Sure. Well, and we love field trips, too. So if there's ever a time that we can come out and see.
There will be. We talk about all the different things that we might want to do to help kick off the program at and we have to decide what we're going to call it, too. We can't keep calling it Wilson Bearshear, but
sure.
For now, that's the easier way to call it. So we get possession of it June 1st.
June 1st. And if we could just go back, Sue, you said $12,762 is what the county is funding through AFSET.
Yes.
How does that compare to your request?
I believe it's 100%.
Right on. And how does that compare to where we funded in previous years?
About the same.
About the same. Okay.
This year for AFSET, we did have a deficit budget that we presented, primarily because we found out very late that the church was going to be increasing our rent by a lot. And there wasn't enough time to figure out how we were going to come up with that money. So we have instituted some other tuition changes and staff changes so that we no longer have a deficit going, which is a good thing. But we didn't, the asset money doesn't affect our operating.
Okay. Super. Questions? Sue, thanks for coming over. Be safe as you go back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Under departmental report, Central Iowa Tourism and Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau, and instead of Julie, we have Allison with us. Hi, Allison.
Hi there. Well, I always come with a lot of handouts. I left them on the table there for you. The Central Iowa Tourism Region does an annual travel guide, and this year's guide just came out last week, and so I was able to bring you a copy of that, and it shows full representation of the region. There in the middle on page 14, where I've set some other pieces of paper, is the spread that our local members did advertise, and this piece is put together solely on advertising dollars. So the Convention Visitors Bureau actually put that together with some of the other Ames area attractions and the bulletin board and hotel to represent the community. The other things that I put in the center there, the fast track sheet and the legislative priorities, and that is from the Travel Federation of Iowa. All of the Iowa attractions and CDBs and hotels, et cetera, are part of that Travel Federation. And we did have a legislative night in January 28th. Had booths at the state fairgrounds and invited all the legislators in to talk to them about the impact that the tourism has on our state. So I did bring you they used to do a little booklet called Fast Track, the current one-page sheet, and then what the legislative priorities are there. And Sean Damaris, who's our sports sales person, and I represented the community at that event. I also was the Iowa representative for the Iowa Group Travel Association at the American Bus Association Convention in Charlotte in January. And it was it's a week-long trade show, a convention of motor coach operators as well as group tour planners. And I represented the Iowa Group Travel Association and attractions across the state of Iowa trying to encourage group travel planners to bring their groups to Iowa. So that was a new experience for me. It was an appointment-based trade show, so you actually went, you didn't have a booth where people just stopped by, but you actually had 7-minute appointments with planners, and you had something to represent the whole state of Iowa in 7 minutes. It was a challenge.
Speed dating.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it was. And then just on the Bureau's side, I just put in our new wall calendar so you can see the variety of events that we have coming to the Central Iowa area for the 2013 year. Of course, you'll know we do that twice a year, that calendar. And just a couple of other notes. I am representing the hospitality industry and the hotels in particular on the Story County Emergency Management Committee that is working with I-35 closure and the plan of action in that case. We got trial by fire this spring, this year already, as well as last week with the potential for the snowstorm that didn't end up, didn't actually close the interstate at that time, but what we did earlier in the year. And so that's been a good experience, and I think a really well organized committee. From what I understand, after our first experience that actually the state, someone up higher up in the state asks for some information, and they're going to use that as a demonstration
cool.
for the rest of the state and be prepared. And it includes city employees, city police, Iowa State police, public safety, the people involved at Iowa State Center, because that's where they have identified the park semis, the Convention Visitors Bureau, and working with the hotel to see where rooms are available, also to get information out to the public, and Red Cross, and so it's a very wide...
Well, thank you for your work on that. Absolutely.
And then I'm also working with Mr. Clinton and the Iowa Association of County Supervisors, and in his role as president this year, he will be hosting their executive retreat in August. And so we're working with him on some arrangements for that, as well as some tours and an evening event for visitors.
Wayne will pull out all the stops, that's for sure. That's right.
So hopefully we can represent and be good hosts in August.
I have no doubt.
Super.
Can you give us an update, if there is any, on the flat space? And has there been any movement since last time we talked?
The most recent movement has been right at the end of the year. Julie and Dan and I think the mayor and Steve Shanker had an opportunity to meet with President Lee and some of his staff. One man was involved. And President publicly supported the idea of continuing to work on that initiative. So at this point, in fact, he did say at the change legislative luncheon last week, where they asked specifically about the flat space, he did say he was supportive of continuing the process.
And am I right that it's a $52 million
project
as it stands, and the hard part is figuring out how that would be funded, and I guess I've heard the idea floated that we'd need a change in state law to be able to recoup some from restaurants. Is that?
That is one thing that they were looking at one point. There has always been some talk about, you know, are there changes potentially in hotel motel tax, but I think it's probably going to come down to some private fundraising. And,
okay. Okay.
Yeah, that's a very complicated situation that they're continuing to work on.
Thank you very much. Questions? Right. Thanks for being here. Be safe.
Thank you. I, like Sue, thought I'd still be sitting.
Well, you know, that leads me to Wayne's not with us today. He's actually at meetings down in Des Moines, and it's just a coincidence that when Wayne's not here, we get through this in 25 minutes. I just want to... It's just an absolute coincidence. Liaison assignments, committee meetings, anything?
No.
I would ask you, I know you went to a meeting with DOT last night. Can you tell me anything about that?
It was yesterday afternoon at the engineer's office. There's a public meeting, I believe it's March 7th.
7th.
Next Thursday at the Crossroads Baptist now. Baptist Church at 35 and 30, and it'll simply be an informational meeting for the some proposed changes to the corridor between Ames and Nevada on Highway 30. They had a couple of maps, aerial maps, with a couple of different designs, both for the area just east of the interstate on 30, around Sand Hill Trail in that area, and then also some changes in the way you can access and egress off of 30 in Nevada. Two different plans that they had laid out. They were quick to point out that there's not one dime that's been identified for any of this project. It's something that they've had on the table for some time. Some of the commissioners now with the DOT have an interest in this, and I believe we're going to be over sometime this summer and take a tour of the area. I know Nevada's lobbied kind of hard to get some changes made on their end. So, but the question that we have is what becomes of the at-grade intersections between here and Ames on Highway 30, and their plan is to close all of those with the exception of 580th.
And do something, but it may not end up being 580th they may
could,
put in.
Could be an overpass a little bit further to the west.
Okay.
With an access road or frontage road.
Just a lot of questions to be asked. The only thing that they did have for certain is changes and improvements at 30 and 35 at that.
And that's already got funding tied to it.
That is on the calendar to be completed in 2017, which would eliminate the
overleaf.
Right. It would. If you were northbound on 35 and wanted to go into Ames, you would actually take what they call a flyover, which would be a bridge that would take you over the southbound lanes and put you back on 30, which would eliminate the cloverleaf.
Which that's already that's on the schedule with funding tied to it.
With funding tied to it should be a project for 2017.
And then I would just say for us, we need to stay highly aware of that entire corridor between Ames and Nevada. But specifically, we need to recognize that Vetter Equipment is getting ready to open on 590th. Case IH Training Center is right there. We need to recognize that 600th has very rapidly become a key access point for farm materials headed up to the co-op, Lincoln Way Energy, and soon-to-be DuPont plant up there. And so this is something that I appreciate you attending yesterday. We need to keep our eye on the way this is all going to work and make sure that the people from outside of Nevada and Ames are represented in whatever's done along that corridor.
And I would just urge anybody that has any interest in this to attend that meeting. I can't remember. It's an evening meeting. I can't remember exactly what time it is. It's on the DOT website, but they'll have tables set up with these aerial maps and some DOT employees. It won't be any type of a formal presentation. It'll just be an opportunity for people to look at the plans and give their comments and feedback on these two plans that they've got laid out. So.
Yep, super. Anything else? Other reports? Anything? Public forum number two, opportunity for members of the public to comment on items that are not on this agenda. Board cannot take any action on any of those comments due to the requirements of open meetings law, but we may do so in the future. Is there anybody who'd like to address us? Seeing no one moving immediately, announcements. You got anything?
You're correct. It was a charge from where I sat. So.
Well, but at least it wasn't compounded by calling a phantom foul right after it.
That's all I've got.
Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Toot.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. We're adjourned. Thanks, everybody.
I'm going to send a copy of that tape to the Big 12.
You know, it's going to be...